global warming can't come soon enough, can it? Tell you what. Negative 14 on our way here. And my heat gave out on Friday in my car. Man, it wasn't fun. If you want to follow along, open your songbooks to number 605. We'll be looking at that song tonight for this lesson. Not enough room up here. The song is titled Just As I Am, and the author, at least the lady who wrote the words, is Charlotte Elliott, and she's a real interesting lady if you ever have time to look her up on Google or whatnot. Be careful, some of the more religious websites like to paint a picture of her that might not be true, but when I explored her today, she lived in the 1600s. She died when she was about 80 years old, and up until she was 30-ish, she kind of led a life in the world and was pretty sinful, but then for the last 50 years of her life, she was ill and bedridden, pretty much 50 years straight from what I could gather, and just ask Kelly, being bedridden for just a couple months is no fun, so imagine 50 years with no TV at that, so it couldn't have been very fun. But she wrote this song after she became a Christian, which was after she was 30 years old. And I've heard talk about the title, Just As I Am, you know, coming to the Lord just as you are. And they think, well, you can't really come to God just as you are. You have to repent before you can come to God. And from what I've noticed, just looking up Charlotte Elliott and the context that she wrote it in, I don't really think that she was writing it that she could come just living a sinful life to God. She had a lot of pastors and priests come to her bedside and try to teach her about the Lord while she was in the hospital and while she was sick in bed. And one man really struck her heart by telling her that you can just come just as you are, just sickly and bedridden, and Jesus will accept you. I think that what she's getting at with the title, Just As I Am, is that just as I am, somebody wanting to follow God, Christ will accept me. Not just as I am, somebody who wants to be a sinner. But let's talk about the first verse. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. Now, plea in the dictionary is described as an accused person's answer to a charge or indictment in a criminal practice. So it's interesting that she would say, just not one plea. I don't have one plea. I can't explain my sins in any way, shape, or form. They happen, everyone did them, everyone has them, and there's nothing I can do that can own up to them, that can earn me forgiveness for them. So I have no plea, I have no reason for you to give me salvation. I have no reason, except that Christ shed his blood for me. I thought that was real interesting. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 4. And that says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift from God. So we don't have any defense. Without God's grace, we have no hope for salvation. That's the first step. We need God's grace if we want to be saved. So we don't have any plea. But the second part of the verse is the almighty trump card. Turn to Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. And that says, therefore he is also able... let's start in 24. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So without Jesus, we can't live. That's just the way it is. And that's what I think the first line is really getting at. Let's talk about the second line. Just as I am, and waiting not, to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can clench each spot. Do you remember the conversion of Paul in Acts chapter 22? He records it. I think it happened earlier than that, but and Acts 22 is the record that I'm looking at. And in verse 16, Ananias asks Paul, basically, what are you waiting for? You know, you believe in God, you were a devout Jew, you know the right thing, you believe in Christ Jesus now. What are you waiting for? Why are you waiting to rid your soul of every spot that it has? Paul believed in God and he knew the right thing to do. So he thought to himself, he must have thought to himself, you know, Ananias, there's just no good reason for me to wait. For me to wait to be baptized. There's no good reason for me to answer the gospel's call of salvation. And Paul turned and was baptized into Christ. But what if you're already a Christian? Does your soul need ridding of every dark spot? It sure does. You're responsible for your own soul, even after you become a Christian. You must continue in the truth. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1:22 says, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Now, one thing that's implied, if they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, is that they had once at one time had the truth of God. When I go to the store and exchange my dollar bill for four quarters, they look at you kind of funny if you don't have the dollar bill and you just ask for the four quarters. So you would think that they would have had the truth of God if they exchanged it for a lie. We need to make sure that doesn't happen to us too. We have the truth of God. We have it right here in our Bibles. We need to make sure that we don't exchange that for something else. As Christians, we need to, without hesitation, be able to test all things and to explore and to make sure what we're doing is the right thing to do. And always be willing to turn back to the path God has set forth for us. Verse 3, just as I am, though tossed about, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting fears within and without. David sure knew the meaning of fears within and without when he wrote the book of Psalms. So let's look at Psalm number 22. We'll kind of combine verses 3 and 4, but let's just talk about the fears within and without first. This song is written in the context of someone who is very far from God. And I'm talking about the song Just As I Am. It's talking about somebody who's not yet come to God. That's why we use it as an invitation song sometimes. Psalm 22 also talks about David when he also was far from God. Look at verse number 12. We'll start reading there. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Do you ever feel this way? Just so far from God that what does David say? He says, my heart is like wax melting away from me. My strength is dried up. My tongue just clings to my jaws. Do you ever feel that far from God? So, hold your finger in Psalm 22 as we look back to verse 4 in Just As I Am. It says, just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of mind, yea, all I need in thee to find. Now look back at Psalm 22 and verse 19. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. Looks like David's coming back to God here. So what happens next? I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him, all your descendants of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all you offspring of Israel, for he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. What does it say in Just As I Am? It says, healing of the mind. That sounds like healing of the mind when it says, he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Next line, nor has he hidden his face from him. Sounds like sight from Just As I Am. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord forever, Let your heart live forever. And all the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship, and those who go down to the dust shall bow before him. That sounds also like riches. Sight, riches, healing of mind are all described in Psalm number 22, where David talks about his return to the Lord. And I think that's exactly what Charlotte Elliott was talking about in her song. Let's finish reading the psalm. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. All these great things. So let's look at the last verse. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because of thy promise I believe. A believer in God is going to want to turn to him. As the chorus says, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. We have to put out the first step. We have to put the first step out towards wanting to seek God. Remember when we read in Romans that people exchanged the truth of God for a lie, then God gave them up. They made the first step to put God away, just like we have to make the first step to seek God. Seek and you shall find, Jesus says in Matthew 6. And it means that we have to put a first step forward. God calls us, but we have to seek. We have to truly want to find out his truth. And after we find that, we'll get many glorious, wonderful things. Pardon, cleanse, relieve, as Charlotte describes in her song. So that's the little mini lesson for the night. Grab your songbooks, and we'll sing the invitation song after a few words of exhortation. One of the things we talked about just now was man's soul. We really didn't touch on that too much. Paul advises us in Ephesians chapter 5 to walk circumspectly, which is just basically a long word saying walk looking towards the inside. Walk looking at yourself from the outside in. Whenever I have trouble doing that, I read this poem by Walt Huntley. It says, have you ever stopped to wonder what this life is all about? Why you're here and where you're going? When your lease on time runs out, maybe you've been far too busy trying hard to reach your goal. Would you let me ask you kindly, have you thought about your soul? You may reach the highest portals, and your dreams may all come true. Wealth and fame may be your portion, and success may smile on you. All your friends may sing your praises, not a care on you may roll. But what about the great tomorrow? Have you thought about your soul? Don't forget, your days are numbered. Though you may be riding high, but like all of us poor mortals, someday you'll just up and die. Your success and fame and glory won't be worth the bell they toll. Let me ask you just one question. Have you thought about your soul? If you've never thought it over, spend a little time today, for there's nothing more important that will ever come your way than the joy of sins forgiven and to know you've been made whole. In the name of Christ the Savior, have you thought about your soul? And I really like that poem a lot. Have you ever thought about the fact that you have a soul in the first place? There are some people that say, well, humans are just no better than animals. We walk around blind without a soul. But the Bible says in Zechariah 12, verse 1, that God gives man his soul. Have you thought about how valuable that makes your soul? Jesus taught soul value in Matthew 16, where he asks a twofold question. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Have you considered the fact that your soul will outlive the death of your body and will outlive the world? Even when the world is ended, your soul will still continue on. Have you thought about Adam and Eve and their soul is still around? And Cain and Abel and Noah and all our heroes from the Old Testament, their soul is still around. And lastly, have you thought about making your soul clean? Was there a baptism today? I saw the pipe out there. Somebody made their soul clean today. And how do you do that? Well, you first have to believe. John 8:24 says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am He." You next need to repent. Luke 13:3 says, "Unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish." You need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Jesus says in Matthew 10:32, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before the Father which is in heaven." And then lastly, you need to be baptized into Christ. In 1 Peter 3:21, Peter teaches us that baptism also saves us, along with faith and along with hearing and along with repentance. Baptism is also necessary for salvation. But what if you've already been baptized? Have you been living faithfully? If you haven't, we'd like to ask you to come to the front and confess your sins. Or if baptism's your need, come on to the front and we'll help you with that tonight as together we stand and sing.